Each week we have been opening the Gospel of Luke so that we may know what is the good news of the Gospel, the good news according to the mouth of God. Many Gospels are preached, but the Bible tells us that even if an angel of heaven preaches you some Gospel, if it is not the one which is the Gospel of the Bible and the Apostles, then even that angel should be accursed and condemned. We are trying to know the things that God has truly said to us. So much Christianity is around, but seems so little power to change lives. So much talking, but so little reality and true knowledge of Jesus Christ. How can we know Jesus Christ truly? We're trying to get back to the beginning. What was the gospel that first changed the world? The first gospel that the apostles preached. As we've opened the book of Luke, Luke has begun by telling us about the birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one sent ahead of Christ to prepare the way, to prepare the hearts of his people to receive him, to call them away from their sins so that they might be ready for the coming of the Lord. The father of John the Baptist was a man called Zechariah. And now we look at Zechariah for the last time as we reach the end of chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke. We're particularly looking at verses 67 up to 80 then in this first chapter of Luke. In our Bibles, the translators have given the title Zechariah's Song. I've called it Zechariah's Prophecy because it says in verse 67, his father Zechariah, John's father Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. Here is a man filled with the Spirit of God and speaking the very words of God. And he reveals to us the gospel of God. He speaks about salvation. So what is the true salvation? What did God want to tell us through Zechariah? Let me read then this prophecy again from verse 68 up to 80. And we read what he says. He said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew, became strong in spirit. He lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Now, what did Zechariah preach by the Spirit of God? First, he said that God visits his people. God visits his people. If you look at how he began in verse 68, he says, praise the Lord because he has come and has redeemed his people. Now the word we have there as come, if you look in another Bible translation, it will often have it as visit. The word being used was a lot bigger than just, oh, you arrived, oh, here you are. But it has a deep meaning. This word in the Bible speaks of God coming to see what's being done. It's like he comes to inspect. You know, if the president visits the military academy in Eldoret, at Moy Barracks, he'll come and he'll inspect. He'll watch to see what's happening. And then he'll give his opinion. The leaders of that barracks will be waiting. Will the president praise them? Or will he condemn them? Will he be lifting them up? Or will he be dismissing them and sending them away? It's a visit to inspect, to see what is happening in his realm, in his place. And to deliver those who are in trouble, to lift them out of their sadness and their sorrow. To find those who are hurting and harming in his kingdom. To find those who are hurting, who are his enemies, who are persecuting his people, and them to be judged and delivered, to have the people delivered from them. If we turn to the book of Exodus, we can see this thing happening. There was a time when God visited his people in Egypt. He saw their sufferings, and he rescued them, and he judged his enemies with great judgment. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23 and 24 and 25. Now, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. Their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. The story of the Exodus is how God remembers his promises and he comes to visit his people. He sees their distress. He delivers them out of it and he judges his enemies out of his mercy to his own ones. That is one of God's visits. That is the idea behind this word. That is why Zechariah praised God, because they had been longing, they had been waiting for the time when God would come. They had been suffering under their enemies, and they were praying to God for God to have pity and have mercy, to come and to visit them. He is a God who sees. Zechariah, in this prophecy, verse 71, he spoke about the enemies of God's people, spoke about those who hated them. Again, verse 71. Verse 74, he spoke of being rescued from the hand of their enemies. Verse 77, he spoke about their sins, which had bound them. He spoke in verse 79 about living in darkness. Even the shadow of death was beginning to cover them. They were crying out for God to deliver them because they were trusting in God. They were waiting for God. Their hope was in God. They longed for God to appear for them. And can I ask you, are you one of the people of God like Zechariah? Are you aware of the trouble that sin has brought? Do you see the shadow of death approaching that comes over our lives? One of us has been to a funeral this week. There's another funeral next week. We know that sin has brought all misery and pain and even death into the world. We see its shadow coming on us. But are we then trusting in God? Are we crying out to God to deliver us? Are we crying out to him? Are we pleading? He will visit us with his salvation. Are we one of his people who longs for him, and who, when he visits, he will deliver us? Now, why did God do these things? Why was God coming now in the land of Israel and coming now to bless the whole world? Why was he doing it? Well, he had a plan. And he had a promise. Look at verse 70. As he said through his prophets, his holy prophets of long ago, It was a thing God had promised many generations before. Or look at verse 72. To show mercy to our fathers, well, because of our fathers, to remember his holy covenant. In a covenant, God makes promises and he gives commands. He says what he will do and he tells us what we must do. And God had promised the Savior long ago. Verse 73, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. Why was God doing this now? Why was he sending Jesus? Because he had promised. It had always been his plan. I want to read from Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1, 2 and 3. Now this is 2,000 years earlier. Many centuries. God's time is not like our time. God does not have any problem with impatience. God always knows the right time and he can wait until it comes. God has chosen the right time. So 2,000 years can pass, but God will never forget. Please don't think God forgets. If you're trusting in him, if you're believing the promises he's given you in Scripture, don't think that God is just put you to one side and will never visit you again. But keep trusting in him. Well, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household to go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That was the promise, that Abraham was being taken out of his own people and place, but God was promising something better, something greater, an inheritance he was promised, a great nation from his body he was promised, and blessing to all the world through him. Zechariah sees that that is now coming through Jesus. That Jesus, the Son of Mary, the Son of God, is going to bring the people of God into their inheritance. That the true riches, the eternal riches, the riches of God himself are purchased for us by Jesus. That Jesus dying on the cross purchases us eternal glory for us. That in this life he gives to us the Holy Spirit to live in us and to change us. And in the life to come we will see his glory. That when he returns and when we enter heaven, we will see him face to face. And we will enjoy his riches forever. Abraham was promised a great family. And Zechariah saw that family now coming. Not the earthly Israel. That was just really a sign and a promise of the true family. But remember, he said, through you all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. All the tribes, all the countries, every town and village will rejoice and enjoy the blessings because of Jesus Christ. Because of the salvation that comes through him. That those who love the Lord Jesus will be blessed, and those who fight against him will be cursed. That's what God promised to Abraham, and now it was coming through Jesus. Zechariah had been waiting all his life. The nation of Israel had been waiting all those years, but now it was coming in Christ. God visits his people, and he visited them through the Lord Jesus. Let's go forward. God redeems his people. So now we're looking more closely at what God does in this visit. And we're getting closer to it. He delivers his people and he judges his enemies. That's what happened at the Exodus in Egypt. The people were were taken out of slavery. They were given many blessings, and they were brought to a place where they could serve God in freedom and in joy. But God's enemies, Pharaoh, the Egyptians, were buried under the Red Sea, and they died in the plague of the firstborn, and they suffered under God's judgment in the plagues. The word in verse 68 is redeemed. That word means a price paid for freedom, like a ransom price. There is a captive. Maybe he's taken in a war. The enemy takes him. And that man is captive. It's a war, and under the laws of the war, he will remain a prisoner. But then, someone comes to pay a price, to purchase his freedom, so that he's no longer a slave, no longer a prisoner, but he's a free man again. That price is a ransom price. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, there was a price. There was a lamb that died for every household. In Egypt, there was no ransom for the Egyptians. Every firstborn died. But God provided a lamb for every house in Israel so that the firstborn should live. Jesus is the true ransom. Why did Jesus die? He died so that we might live. Your sins are a debt before God. And they're a debt you cannot pay. They're a debt that will sink you down into eternal judgment. There is a price to be paid because you have lived in God's world and you have not lived God's way. God's laws and commandments you have broken. There is a debt so great which you add to and I add to day after day. But there is a ransom. When God visits his people, he visits them with the payment of a price. Jesus paid the price on the cross, that by his own body he set us free. Jesus is the liberator. Zechariah, verse 71, he says, salvation or deliverance from our enemies, from those who hate us. Verse 74, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies. What kind of enemies? What enemies are you speaking about, Zechariah? Verse 77, the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. Or verse 79, to shine on those living in darkness, those who don't have the truth, in the shadow of death. The Bible says that we do not fight against flesh and blood. We are not fighting with man, but with spiritual enemies, with wickedness in heavenly places. Our enemies are the devil, sin, and death. Through the devil and the temptation he brought to man, sin came into the world, and sin led to death. And we're all under a death sentence. God has chosen a day. He says we won't live in this world the way we are, because we've sinned. We've lost our right. We must be thrown out. We're under a sentence of death. The anger of God is against us. By sinning, we've joined in league with Satan. Sin is the great delight of Satan. By sinning, we've joined together with him and gone his way. And those are our true enemies who wish us true hurt and bring us a true hurt. But Zechariah was rejoicing because, in verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God. God has tender mercy. God has pity upon sinners. Amazing, isn't it? That God feels for sinners and he desires to deliver them. Even as he rejoices to punish evil because he hates evil, yet he also rejoices to deliver evildoers through this ransom. the Bible here, verse 79, says we're living in darkness. We don't know the truth. We don't know the way of light. But God is going to shine on us. Verse 78, the rising sun will come to us from heaven. That's what Jesus does. He shows us the truth. It shines out from him to us to guide our feet into the path of peace. Through the cross, Jesus brought peace. Peace between man and God. Sin forgiven. Sin punished. He brought peace between man and man. That we can be brothers and sisters. And say, yes, I'm a sinner. I've done many wrong things. More than you can imagine. And so have you. But Jesus has died for us both. And now we're together in the family of God. That's what we can say if we're trusting in Christ. Jesus will come again. There'll be another visit. God will come to deliver his people one final time and to judge his enemies one final time. Jesus is returning from heaven. He'll take us who trust in him to be with him forever, to show us his glory. He'll make new the heavens and the earth. And we will live on the earth that God made for man. That paradise will be restored. And it'll be glorified. It'll be better than anything Adam knew before he sinned. But God will come to judge his enemies too. The fire which God made for Satan and the fallen angels. Those who reject Jesus will enter into it as well. God will come to make a final division, to deliver his people, to judge his enemies. That's what God does when he visits. Now, thirdly, God is served by his people. Zechariah is explaining salvation in this prophecy. And he asks the question, what do we do? What does a saved person do? What does salvation look like? When we live according to it, they serve him, is the answer. They serve God. Verse 74, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, Satan, sin and death, and to enable us to serve him without fear. Before we served our own pleasure, we serve our own desires. But when Jesus saves us, we don't stop serving. But now we serve him. He purchased us, paying the price, then we become his. And if you don't want to serve Jesus, then you're not his. You can't be his. There's no salvation that makes you free to serve yourself. Salvation makes you free to serve him. Those Israelites, they came out of Egypt. They were freed from the bondage of the Egyptians. What did God then do? He placed them under his law. He gave them his commandments. He gave them the tabernacle, the place where the priests would come and serve, where the Israelites would give their offering to God. He gave them a work to do in conquering that land, in fighting the enemies of God, in being a shining light to the nations. Those who are saved must serve. A church must be a place of work and effort and activity. It must be a place where people are fighting with spiritual weapons against the spiritual enemies, where the truth is shining out, where we are obeying the laws and commandments of God as his people. There's a kingdom to win and a land to shine in. Verse 75 says that this service must be in holiness and righteousness before him. All our days, continues all our life, we are to seek what is right. To come nearer to God, you must grow in holiness. You must practice righteousness, because he is a holy and a righteous God. It must be a pure service. Are you serving God without fear? Why do you come to worship God? Why do you try to obey his commands? Is it out of fear? You think, I know things are not good between me and God. I know God punishes sin. Let me try to do these things to keep him happy. I'll keep him away from me. He won't notice me if I just obey him and keep myself in the good way. That's serving him with fear. That's not how a converted person serves him. A converted person cannot fear the punishment of God. A converted person knows Jesus already paid the price. We've been liberated. If we're saved, we're not in Egypt anymore. God's judgment is done and past. At Calvary, Jesus satisfied it all. And now we serve him in freedom. We serve him in joy. Because we know he is ours and we are his. We're not trying to earn our salvation. Because Jesus already earned it. That's how a saved person serves. Now, is that you? Have you passed from that bondage? Have you passed from that slavery into the freedom of the children of God? Has Jesus removed your burden? Look to him. He paid the price. Don't try to pay it yourself. Look to him and feel freedom. Look to him and live. These are the things that Jesus came for. Zechariah was singing about Jesus. Did you notice verse 69? It said he's raised up a horn of salvation. A horn was a symbol of strength. Strength and power. The people could gather around it. But where has he raised it? In the house of his servant David. The King David was one of the ancestors of Jesus in the human nature. But David was from which tribe? He was from the tribe of Judah. Zechariah was a priest, and so Zechariah was from the tribe of Levi. The kings were sons of Judah, but the priests were sons of Levi. So Zechariah is singing not about John the Baptist, but about Christ. And when he sings about John the Baptist, verse 76, why does he call him great? He calls him great because of Christ. You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, just a servant. All eyes should be on Jesus, not on his servants. If there's any blessing through his servants, then it's from Jesus and it's for Jesus. And so we praise Jesus. Zechariah did praise. Verse 68. That's where he begins, and it's all praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. Praise be to the Lord. A man whose heart, a woman whose heart is full of the Holy Spirit, this is the first note they strike. Praise be to the Lord, the God of his people, who visits and who delivers his people. A heart set free is a heart which rejoices in God. Is this the salvation you have found yet? Has your heart been set free? Is your voice this morning one to say, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. He visits and he redeems his people. Are you today waiting for when he'll visit again one more time? When he will visit at the end of time? Are you waiting for him? This is a man filled with the Holy Spirit. It says nothing about how loudly he spoke. It doesn't tell us he shouted. It doesn't tell us he lost control or started rolling on the floor or started screaming. I see these things being done. And people say it's the Holy Spirit. And I say, is that the same Holy Spirit as the one in the Bible? It seems to be a different Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave Zechariah light concerning Christ. The Holy Spirit turns your eyes to Christ, leads you to rejoice in Christ, to see the victory he won on the cross, and to make you to wait for him when he will come again. Do you have that Spirit now showing you Christ, leading you to him?
making you praise God before, because of him.